Good morning. 00 hours. Mostly clear. 65 degrees. Good morning. 0100 hours. Mostly clear. 67 degrees. Good morning. 0200 hours. Mostly clear. 66 degrees. Good morning. 0300 hours. Mostly clear. 65 degrees. Good morning. 0400 hours. Partly cloudy. 63 degrees. Good morning. 0500 hours. Partly cloudy. 62 degrees. Good morning. 0600 hours. Mostly cloudy. 63 degrees. Good morning. 0700 hours. Mostly cloudy. 64 degrees. Good morning. 0800 hours. Mostly cloudy. 65 degrees. Good morning. 0900 hours. Mostly cloudy. 68 degrees.
KFAS Mobile.
KE8VSI.
Good morning. I saw your red light go on a little bit. Probably trying to figure out where I was. I was listening to Fireside, which they link into the East Coast Reflector. It's kind of interesting. It's like you can just leave your, if you program one thing in your radio to listen to, or phone or whatever, it's that Fireside network. They seem to be just, they jump around for you. So I'm off to the house right now. What you up to?
Oh, okay. I was wondering because I had my radio scanning, and of course the GM repeater down at the Rensen, they linked to the East Coast Reflector for the morning brew or whatever they call it. And then when I tried this Fireside, it was like I had a simulcast going. So, all right, good to know that. And, yeah, I'm programming my sidecar, trying to get the label squared away. That's kind of funky.
Yeah, I tried a few things. I tried it with the Excel spreadsheet thing, and I tried it with the Word document that I found, and neither of them formatted out of my printer correctly, so I gave up. I gave up for now. I will conquer it. At some point, it's just kind of like, eh, I'm just going to put penciled in labels for now.
Yeah, neither one of the, I got the Excel and the Word doc, neither one of them printed out correctly size-wise. They were just a little bit off. Margins and everything, you know, everything else was fine. They're just not quite the right size. So I'm working with one of my Word Excel users right now through text. So hopefully I'm going to get it to size right. It's I don't have that deep a level of skills. I got very basic skills, so. But they're going to walk me through it, and then I'll have them. So, all right, I got some text that I got to catch up with and see if it works, and I'll get back to you when I'm done. KE8BSI.
Yep, hopefully you come up with something, and we can put a better template up online. All right, talk to you later. KF8S.
Morning, everyone. Anybody hear how Sean's doing? And 8KPP.
He finally figured out his schedule was he had to be in there at 5, or the he had to be in this morning. It was supposed to start at 5:30 a.m. and could take 3 to 3.5 hours. So we won't know anything for a little while. Let's see, 6:30, 7:30, 8:30. Yeah, we could be hearing something at any time now. That's all I got.
Very good. Put it on Telegram or something, you know. Hey, all went well or something like that. Okay. I'm running towards the doctor myself. They have to have a blood test, but other than that, no big deal. You guys all have a good day. And, Greg, you get that template figured out, let me know. I got one coming for the grandkids, so I want to make that look pretty. So talk to you guys later.
Roger, KE8BSI.
Yeah, once Greg figures it out, I'll put it on the website. WhoCaresRadio.com. There's a VoIP section. I started, because you know that Telegram topic, it's just like noise now. So I've been trying to go through it and consolidate all the stuff we've learned into that one page.
Yeah, I watched that website. That's kind of cool. Nice and clean and concise. I actually bought that little bitty Chinese radio that you were talking about, Dylan, that you could, I think it was that where I saw it, where you could program it down to like 75 milliwatts or something like that. I mean, it's a simple, cheap radio, but it does nice, and that's good. So, and I did figure out the ASL3 on the Dell Weiss box. If anybody's trying to do that, you might want to put a comment on that. It needs the bash command when you go in to install it after you download with the wget program, and then you tell it to execute it. You have to put bash before it, otherwise it just sits there and says command not found. And that took me 5 hours to figure that one out.
Wow. Yeah, I would have to make an ASL3 section now that I think about it, now that we've all been playing with it for a bit. There was a patch for Echo Link. I think Captain Don found that one. But that one's easy. You just update like you would normally update the OS, and then you get the packages that way. So I'm glad to see that they're doing that. Like, now you don't have to deal with reinstalling or anything, you just update the packages. What was I going to say? Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff we need to put up there. Those radios, they're kind of like, they're old, like as far as like information-wise. There's a couple new ones out there, like the TID, H3, and things like that. But I assume you got the little cube radio.
No, the other one. It was brown, little brown radio, and on the little block it said, and you had two links, one to the programming, one to adjust the power, And I thought, okay, you know, because, you know, these Amazon things blast off 1 watt. There's nothing you can do to slow it down. So I did that, and went and got one of those in the little blue box. So, and then I kicked it down to, I don't know, I think 100 milliwatts or something like that. So realistically, you only needed to cover the house, and there's no reason to throw all that UHF all over the place at 1 watt. So it worked out really well. So whoever came up with that idea, thank you.
Yeah, I think Eric found that. It was buried, you know. It was like you go download the programming software, and then you unzip it, and they don't really tell you, right? They don't. There's nobody saying, "Hey, this is the power changing thingy." But it's right in the zip file when you unzip it. It's like power tweak. I forgot what they called it. Yeah. But there's a couple of Chinese radios that do that, that use that same program. And the K6, K5, that Quancheng, the one that's really popular, that one you can use the power program on too. I don't think they document it. But it's like I think that one is easier because it's in chirp. You just go into chirp and you change the things. But, you know, we've been playing with all these radios for a while. It's hard to keep track of which one did what.
Oh, yeah, and then you get kind of stupid after a while because you can't remember which radio did what. So, yeah, I got all of that, so very good. I got to switch to the Warren repeater. I'm down here. I'm in Richmond right now, and I'm at 16 miles. Give me a second. That should be better, NAKPP.
Yeah, you were sounding about the same, but, yeah, this one's better now, KF8S. And, what was I going to say? I had another thought. I can't remember. A lot of us have gone to the RT3S. You know, we switched to that for a while. Then everybody was buying those RT3Ss. And as you know, you put that OpenGD77 software on there. And those already have those power levels for you. And then you can take it a one step further. You can actually calibrate. You can go in and, you know, you take your watt meter, and you can calibrate the power settings for the different bands. And it works pretty well. I mean, there's one that's like 50 milliwatts on the HT, and that lets that thing last all day almost.
Yeah, I've got that radio, but I use that as a DMR radio. I use that as my carry-around radio on HT4. And then, of course, the Motorola bug bit me, thanks to WRCY, you know, Don. And I really like that radio, but that one you can't do too much with. That one, it is what it is. So, but that's carry-around. But, yeah, that RTS, that's a real, with that OpenGD77, that's a real nice, easy radio to program. It just floors me how nice and easy that is.
Yeah, I usually carry my carry-around radio, like, or if I wanted to leave the house in a hurry, right? Like, if I'm only going to be able to take one radio with me, that's my Anytone 878, just because it's got the big battery. And I've got the USB-C, I bought the USB-C battery for it, so I know I can plug it into almost anything. And that one's a little bit like your Motorola, like as far as programming, it's not as easy to do it, you know, the inter-frequencies and things, but you can do it. And I've got a lot of things programmed into that. That one's kind of like a jack-of-all-trades radio, and I really like it. But it's not the best. You know, there's always something wrong with each one of these radios that doesn't make it a perfect radio.
Oh, I agree. I'm HT4. I got a lot of $25, $30 radios. Although my little Echo, Amazon Echo this morning said that there's going to be some unbelievable sales on Redivis radios and what is it, Amazon Prime Day or whatever they got coming up. So it says, would you like me to send you a link? And I told it, yeah, because I want to see if they're really going to blow out some of those radios.
Yeah, I forgot there's Prime Day coming up. Was it the 19th and 20th or something like that? Yeah. They usually don't go too much on sale. You might get like a $10 off here, but you know what? You'll see sales on. You'll see like blowouts of all the cheap little radios. I think sometimes you can find like two for $30, and a lot of times they'll come with like the bigger antenna. And so, like, you know how those little HT, those big HT antennas, the 771 antennas, you know, those are usually about $20 each. So even if you don't use the radio, it's like you get a deal on the antennas. They're like, it's like you're buying it for the antenna, not for the radio.
Yeah, I know Jack over there on the other band, he talks a lot about that Nagoya antenna. I bought one. I just thought it was kind of intrusive. I never really experimented much with it to find out if it was that much better, but, you know, it stuck up about a foot and a half in the air. Of course, it's kind of an exaggeration, but I just didn't care for it. I go, oh, heck with it. If I'm that far away from the repeater, I don't need it.
Yeah, and those antennas are meant for VHF, or, you know, the reason why they're long. You get some gain with the UHF, but you really can get away with a shorter antenna with UHF, so I think people are amazed at, and I mean, the one that I use on my car, it's only about 8 inches high. It's a really, and you've seen Sean's antenna. It's a little bit longer than what Sean's antenna is, but, so it's like wide band, like it covers all the UHF band, and you don't have to fuss with any tuning or anything, and that's my, like, little discrete antenna. And I don't have to worry about going through drive-thrus and all that stuff. I have the bigger antenna, the gain antenna, if I had to, but I haven't really, you know, to be honest with you, I haven't found any need to do that.
I have a work car, which is what I'm driving now, because I don't want everybody to notice I get antennas and radios in this car, but I got that little black bullet antenna. I forget, they call it a shot glass antenna, or antenna, whatever. And that's what I'm talking to now, and I am really surprised, at least in my estimation. I've never really tested it, but that thing works remarkably well, and it's got a fairly wide channel bandwidth to it, too. So, and that's what I'm using right now, and where am I? Of course, I'm on a lot of power, but I'm in St. Clair Shores, so and it works really, really well. Like the digital, the DMR one over there in Novi, I talked with that almost to Lansing on the Novi one with the Dunnet 5.1 system, and so I'm pretty happy with that antenna. So, and it's car wash friendly.
Yeah, that's the key thing, car wash friendly. I lost an antenna to a car wash. It was kind of embarrassing to see. I was like driving to the car wash and it got ripped right off and went into the rollers, and, you know, I drove out. I drove as fast as I could get out of there because I don't know if I jammed their system or anything, but it chewed it up pretty good, so. But anyways, I'm here at my destination, so I'll listen out one more time for you, and then I'm going to head in, and I have the junk people coming today to clear out the house, so that's why I'm here. So I'll listen out, KF8S, 73 for now.
Very good. Yeah, I want to know who you use for junk people. Getting married here in another couple months, and we're going to sell her house, and I'm going to need some junk people. So, you talk to you later. That's conversation for another day. NAKPP.
Yeah, just briefly, it's called College Hunks, but I will let you know if they're good or not in a later conversation.
I use them to help moving. I question what college they're in. Anyway.
Good morning. 1000 hours. Partly sunny. 72 degrees. Good morning, 1100 hours. Partly sunny. 76 degrees.
Good morning. Just out on the road today.
Well, I got my hours in last night. I've only had one call today, so I only get about an hour or two over my what I'm supposed to get. So I'm sitting here dialing around looking for parks on CW and working a couple different parks, so just trying to relax.
Good morning. I won't be in here long. I'm still woozy.
Recently connected up with DX Watch, or get connected up, you know, whatever, discovered DX Watch. Just a web interface for the DX cluster. I wish there was a way in there to go in and, you know, tell it only send sideband and CW contacts, no FT8, or vice versa. You can tell it only send, you know, only pass CW, or only pass sideband, or only pass FT8, or whatever, but you can't tell it to block one of those modes and let everything else through. So it's tons of FT8 spots, and it's hard to filter through that on your own to figure out what else is in there. Oh well, what a backup here. I'm on the 75 South trying to get onto Davison, and there's lanes closed and ramps closed, all unexpected. No notice at all, just an arrow.
Morning, Sean. I think it's still morning. I was looking for you earlier. Did we ever find somebody that, I thought you said somebody had a box of power supplies? I don't remember, but I think that was what I was going to ask you earlier, but I seen DX spot, but I didn't get digging too far into it. I had been using Ham Alert a lot. Because you can do the prefix, it's very, the alerting on it, and then it'll also push it to a telnet, and I have a DX cluster viewer that I have running on a monitor that watches the output of my Ham Alert stuff, so I've used that for a while. Although I did have to finally turn off my New Hampshire sideband filter because somebody from a contact I made on the 27th uploaded, so I submitted for the triple play plaques and the five band plaques and all that stuff, so I have completed my triple play, but now I'm just doing it for the radio. But yeah, there's still 75 here is still all foobarred with the construction. I think it's going to be that way until fall. So I'm limiting my north-south travel. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I'm still a little woozy from the local, no, I'm local, the general anesthetic. So I just wanted to jump in here real quick and say hi. And yeah, I got a source for those power supplies. I'll ship it to you on eBay when I can. Right now my hand's kind of jacked, so I'm not doing much with the right hand and typing or anything. But I'll get that over to you. I just wanted to say good morning. And that's it. Don?
Good morning. Yeah, I was hoping that you'd pop in sometime soon and say hi, and glad to know you're okay. And, Sean, I saw your post on the triple play. Congrats. That's something I'd like to do. I've got 50... phone and 50 CW, I just have zero digital, so need to get on and start doing that, which I suppose is not impossible to do, but anyway. Alright, Sean, again, welcome back to the world, and I hope it was successful and uneventful and straightforward and all that, but...
Well, that's right, you did get your thingy. I wondered why you saw that, and I haven't really... with my foot and going to ER the other night, I haven't been on the
down here very much, but at least we hear being here alive. That's always a plus.
Okay. Alright, let me just say good morning and get back out of here. So, anywho, I'm trying to balance an ice pack on my right wrist, and I am pretty woozy still. They kick you out fast. I couldn't even walk when they kicked me out. They wheeled me out to the car. My son drove me home, and we went to the restaurant because I was so hungry. And I spilled sausage gravy all over the table. What a mess. Anyhow, I just got home just a few minutes ago. All right. Let you guys carry on. I'll be listening. W8FU.
Okie dokie. Yeah, take it easy. Take a nap later and get back to yourself. But again, hope everything went textbook. KATV.
Yeah. Good. Sausage gravy all over? Oh, man. I tell you. A check showed up in the P.O. box. Michelle grabbed it yesterday, so I did get that. It's going to get taken up to be deposited, but you did get that, so thank you. I'm just reading the changes to ASL3. They just pushed out. So it looks like my change suggestions that I put in for the archives got pushed into this release, so that's good. So now I'm reading the rest of the code changes they did.
I've been
pretty happy with with the alerts and the filtering, because it's pulling from different clusters, reverse beacons, all sorts of different sources that it's pulling into one and then building the alerts off of. You can build the alerts in off of that and then push it either to your phone or to the, you know, your own DX viewer and on Telenet and those types of things. So I've been pretty happy with that so far. Don?
Yeah, I've had a Telnet app that I've used for years, VE73C. So it's just a CC cluster app. Excuse me. I think I helped with the Telnet, but anyway, it's just a text interface, but it's reliable and you can set all kinds of filters and stuff. The idea of the DX Watch is that I can have it on my iPad on the back patio. You know, it's a web interface, and I don't like the filtering, so I got to look into. But there was another one that I looked into that I also did not like. And I thought I liked this one. In fact, although the ad-free, I paid for the ad-free for so many months or whatever just to see what that was like, because the ads were obnoxious, just obnoxious. Like, this is almost not even usable with the ads, you know. So I paid for, like, just some money at it and got the ad-free, but then again, I can't set the filter the way I want, so I got to click around and find something else. I'll check out what you had mentioned.
Yeah, the general filter, or general spot flood or feed or whatever, you know, there's others out there. But if there's a specific prefix filter, or what can I do? You can define different triggers. Well, they call them triggers, basically. So like I had for the 13 colonies, I was like, okay, I loaded the list of prefix call signs with what mode, but there's different conditions. So you got prefix call by call sign. You can do spotter's call sign prefix or spotter prefix, and you can add band, time, day of the week, source, speed, signal to noise, and then you got DXCC, which has DXCC, home DXCC, spotter, band slots, CQ zone, spotter zone, continent, spotter continent, QSL, WAF. There's a WAF category, so you can say, okay, I want, you know, looking for that. IOTA, SOTA, POTA, they even do POTA's filtering, SOTA filtering, and then you can do exclusions in the triggers too, so. For was there in the feed of different sources. What did it got for sources? That was what I was like. Source equals either SodaWatch, RBN Cluster, POTA, or PSK Reporter. So those are the filter sources that it's watching for everything to trigger off of.
Okay, that sounds pretty comprehensive. You know, I tend to set, you know, just passes to basically block all FTA spots and pass any sideband CW or other spots from U.S. spotters and Canadian spotters. You know, I'm not really interested in somebody in France spotting somebody in, you know, Greece. But anybody in the U.S. and Canada, you know, spotting something on HF, I have half a chance of hearing it. And I'll figure out if it's like, well, okay, it's equatorial, trans-equatorial propagation, I'm not going to hear it, okay, fine, but I'll figure that part out. All right, I'll look into that. It sounds like it's got a better set of pass and reject filters.
Yep, I've been enjoying it. I loaded for VOTA last year. You know, I spent a few 6-8 hours collecting call signs, and they're different. You know, from the high value point ones, and I built triggers and filters on that, and that's what helped me. You know, find when, you know, a 250 pointer was randomly on CW over here, I'd get a push alert for it, and, you know, go over and grab it, and I didn't care about digital so much because I was out, if I wasn't, you know, on CW or voice, I had digital just running 24/7, so, and I had a different alerting software set up with JT Alert for digital, but I used it pretty much all last year, and then for the 13 colonies, and then for a while I was working on my triple play here this spring, I was using it. WFSM.
Alrighty. Well, I am, I would say, well, what's the name of that again? Did it be a spotter or something like that?
Hamalert.org. Hamalert.org.
Hamalert.org. I'll check that out later if I can remember. I don't know if I'll actually be in the... I don't know if I'll be playing radio at all today or tomorrow, but I'll think about it. I am probably going to be in the next one. Hamalert.org. Okay, I'll check that out. WFSM, JDD.
Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Mostly cloudy. 78 degrees. Updated weather. Special weather statement. Special weather statement. Special weather statement. Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Mostly cloudy. 77 degrees. Special weather statement. The National Weather Service has cleared all products for our area.
WHCPT.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Mostly sunny. 80 degrees.
W8CPT.
Good afternoon. 15.
W8CPT.
Mostly cloudy. 80 degrees.
W8CPT. 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 Are you testing? Yeah, I'm kind of testing up new radio I got, EFTM 300. How's it, how am I getting into the repeater?
Sounds good. Where are you at? Which repeater are you on?
I'm on the Warren repeater, K8FBI. I'm up in Romeo.
Don, right? You're acting like, yeah, well, I know all about it. You're doing good.
Yeah, the repeater is coming in strong. Of course, I'm mobile, but I got my, what is it? I've got Tramp Browning. It's got about 5.6 dB gain on 440, so I guess it's doing its job. W8CPT, that's not me, Sean. It's somebody else.
Okay, were you guys both testing? I'm all confused because that's Wally. And I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't sound like Don. But you were just testing, right?
Yeah, Roger. I was throwing my call out on the Richmond, and I wasn't hearing the Morse code back, so I switched over to Warren and then Romeo. Yeah, so kind of we both, I guess we both were kind of testing.
Yeah, I didn't catch Wally in there, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, I'm confused here. I was answering Don, and so, anyhow, okay, we're all good. So Wally's checking out his radio in Richmond on the Warren. I find in Richmond, in Romeo, that both work. In fact, the Richmond works better there in some cases. Where are you at, Don, and what are you running? Which repeater? Well, you just told me which repeaters you're on, but are you up near your place?
Yeah, I can almost throw a stone at it. I'm in town right now. But I was coming down Gratiot, and I didn't think it was working. And then all of a sudden, I heard Wally, so it was working. it was acting strange, but I was down in those little gullies where the river is, so it could have been that.
Go ahead, Wally. I think we might have doubled. I just said go ahead, Wally.
Hey, Sean, this is Paul, KBA-DVD. I'm up in Romeo. I'm testing out my FTM 300 on a Tramp Browning. It seems to be working okay. I'm on the Warren repeater, but up in Romeo.
Oh, man, you had me fooled. It's not Wally at all. Okay. That makes sense now. Now it's starting to make more sense. You sounded great, actually. So, yeah, I was answering Don there, and then you popped in and got me all thrown for a loop. But that sounded good. Are you up near home, up in Almont, or are you down a little bit closer? And, of course, you know, we can do... And there's Wally calling in right now, and I do got to talk to him. I'll be right back. Paul, go ahead with Don. W8FU.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Yeah, you had me confused for a little bit. But I was scanning around, seeing if I could get into some repeaters checking out the radio, make sure it's working okay, but it seems to be doing the job. But I have a dentist appointment up here in Romeo, so I'm looking for the place right now. Oh, here it is. But, yeah, so back to, I didn't catch the name on the other station, so you can come back with your name and your call sign there.
Roger, this is W8CPT, Captain Don. I'm actually at the hardware store. I'm going to run in, so you're going to be by yourself for a little bit unless somebody else is out there. But the name's Don, W8CPT.
Yeah, okay, Don, very good. Very good. Yeah, nice to make your acquaintance there. Yeah, I just pulled up to the dentist, so I got to go in and have him look at my tooth, so... We'll catch you out here maybe a little bit later this evening, and we'll do some more testing here. KB8DVD will be clear.
Okay, I'm back. Hey, Paul, are you still here? How about you, Don?
W8DVD.
KEATFM. How you doing, Captain Don?
Davian, how's it going? I'm just out about running errands from my house. I made it down to Romeo. That's as far south as I'm going. I'm heading back the other way soon.
Very good. I'm just getting some stuff wrapped up here. Hopefully get done with work here in the next couple hours, and then we're going to go to Cabela's. We got to go pick up some stuff. We're going to go try fishing in the morning.
It's always a good day to try fishing, but I'm wondering how cloudy the water is going to be with all this darn rain we've gotten.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's going to kind of be a problem, but I generally have done pretty good, you know, trolling for muskie when the water's a little bit on the murky side. So I think that's what we're going to do tomorrow is we're just going to try and target some muskie. I got to figure out where to go.
Well, I know when I used to troll for them, we would go toward the shipping channel from Metro Beach and go out there. Just troll back and forth. We actually, Canadian water was where everybody went this time of year, so close as you could get to it if you didn't have a Canadian license, it was always the best. But, yeah, I don't know how warm the water is either. It's not been that hot this year, so you might be all right just right in where the Salt River comes out and over by Selfridge and everything, too.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be lazy and go by the Salt River, but I was thinking about maybe going and lunching at St. Jean and going to the mouth of the Detroit River over the dumping grounds and that, trying that area.
Yeah, we used to do pretty good on walleye in the dumping grounds. And then there's always perch, too. You can always grab some minnows and worms and throw a few perch rods on the boat and if nothing else is working, just try to find the perch.
Yeah, I don't eat them, so I try to go after the big stuff since I toss them all back anyway. But yeah, I don't know, man. You wanna try going out on Tuesday? I'm really I'm thinking about trying to clear the day so right in the afternoon I'm done working I can go and get out there.
Is that the sturgeon opener?
Yep, that's the sturgeon opener. Probably be a bunch of boats, though.
Yeah, I don't know how it is. I haven't fished it in like 3 years, 4 years, so they were saying it's getting crazy out there, but we'll see. There's a bunch of places to go to get away from the people, though. Just the middle channel is, like, really good, and people don't even realize it.
Oh, yeah, I have a feeling they're everywhere. I prefer to be in the middle channel. That's probably where I'll go, because the north channel just gets too much traffic for me.
Yeah, the good thing about the middle channel, too, is boats over 25 feet or something aren't supposed to be on plane in most of it. So if you fish between those no-wake buoys, you pretty much are okay for the most part, but there's still people that disobey it and fly through there. Now, your boat can go full speed through there. It's just 25 and over can't, so... Yeah, and there, I got some good spots in there where we caught a lot of fish. So, yeah, I'll see. I got to see what I should be getting up. I got up a day shift today, so I should be okay to go. But I'm going to be out here, so I'd have to meet you probably at the launch. Cause, unless that's the day we go down so she can work. I'll let you know. It would work out better if I could just go to your house for my parents and jump in the truck with you. But I'm going to be up here, so. But it shouldn't be that big of a deal.
Well, there'll definitely be more trips, so. Yeah, at night, though, in the river, I won't go out there by myself. I like to have at least one other person, because the last time my cousin and I were out, I mean, we're not the most experienced, but, you know, in the river, though, but we got the anchor line tangled in the motor, and so it was a little bit of a hassle, so I definitely don't want to be trying to play all these games by myself. I like another set of hands.
Yeah, you just got to remember, go upstream of where you want to anchor quite a bit. And then put it in reverse and make sure you're moving backwards, and then put it in neutral, and then toss the anchor, and then you don't have to worry about it getting tangled that way.
Yeah, I think I learned my lesson, but yeah, you know how it goes. Until you're doing it day in and day out, it there's always surprises. Yeah, I'm trying to play FT8 here, and... Man, the bands are not very good today.
Yeah, I think yesterday was the day somebody, I think it was from the up by me, was supposed to be in Hawaii and activating one of the battleships. I don't know if they're only doing it one day or not, but yeah, I forgot all about it until it was too late. And then I don't know if they're doing it today or not. I didn't even hook up my antenna. My plan was to get up today and mow before it rained at 3, because that's what I seen yesterday. It was supposed to rain at 3. And as soon as I got out there with the lawnmower, it started raining. And I just said, screw it. I kept mowing, and it was only a light sprinkle, but it was enough to get the grass all wet. I was having a heck of a time. And then the belt I bought a couple weeks ago was a little bit too big, and it wasn't really pushing the grass the way it should, so I ended up getting done mowing, ran out and got a new belt from the place I bought it from, so I knew it was the right size, and then I had to run into Romeo, and then now I'm going to be heading back here in a little bit. She ran in to get something from a store, so sitting here waiting for her, but yeah, it was like crazy. I was like... The only time it rained was right when I got the mower going. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, last year I seeded and put a new lawn in, and this year it came in like crazy, and I switched to the DeWalt electric mower, and now I gotta cut the grass two times a week. Otherwise, the electric mower just can't keep up with it. But at least now the boys are old enough, so I make them cut it now. And you know what? I am enjoying making them do it. It's a small luxury. But they cut it good enough, and I don't have to touch it.
Well, there you go. You had them for a reason. To mow. That's great. Yeah, that electric mower, I watched the guy across the street from my parents mow with that thing, and... If he doesn't catch it when it's still, you know, not that long. He ends up running out of battery halfway through. You can see the thing struggling. It's like, oh man, why don't you just mow it more often? Come on.
Yeah, nothing beats a gas mower. But I do like the electric though, now that the boys are doing it, because it's a little bit safer. As soon as they let go, everything stops spinning, so it's kind of, it works out good. So that'll give them a good chore to do. So.
Yep, I got a battery chainsaw. I'd actually use that today because I got a path that goes from my garage out to where my pond is, and there were trees, like, growing, and then grapevines getting all over the trees, and I got out that battery chainsaw. I think it's an 18-inch, maybe a 16-inch, I don't know. But it, man, that thing just cranks, man. It's so much nicer than gas.
Yeah, we bought one up north. My brother-in-law did. I forget which one he got. It's like a gray eco something. I don't know what it is. I think it's Lowe's brand or something, but I like it. That thing works great. I mean, we haven't had any issues. It's not as messy. And, I mean, you're not going to sit there and cut all day, but, you know, for what we need it for hunting blinds or just cleaning stuff up, I really like the electric chainsaw. Nice.
Yeah, mine's a cat, and it's 60 volt. And the thing is, barrels through logs. I was shocked.
Yeah, I think ours is 60 as well, and there's no problem. I mean, you can cut a pretty sizable tree up with it. It's no problem. So, yeah, it's nice. I like it. I definitely don't miss pull starting the chainsaws that never start.
Oh yeah, and then mixing oil. And the funny thing about this one is I used it to cut a bunch of trees when I got that trailer for the side-by-side. And then we used it to cut some trees when we were shooting the pellet guns. And I checked the bar oil because I figured it'd be low by now, and it still had a ton in it. So, it doesn't even use as much bar oil. It's just strange.
Yeah, I'm finally getting back to radio work here. I'm talking on the MD9600 right now, and I finally hooked up the watt meter to it to check it out, and it's pretty darn close on the money after I put the GD77 on it. It's close enough, I'm not messing with it. I'm just leaving it alone.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking on, and I'm on the Richmond repeater, and I was almost right to Romeo, so it's, I like this radio. I wish it had dual VFOs, but I've been getting by, and it's not been bugging me that much.
Yeah, I'm still using the FTM 500 in my truck. I do like that one, but I'm thinking about putting this in the truck and trying it for a little bit just to maybe get those satellite passes when I'm out and about. try it out of the truck. Because in my house here, it just doesn't work well at all. I mean, I can kind of hear the satellites, but, you know, it's pointless.
Yeah, I've made a lot of QTOs with the 2x4 antenna and the Wushan radio, but now this one makes it even nicer following the Doppler. I gotta leave the cord hooked up and do the caps. With the ISS, you gotta do the caps like every 3 days because they could change orbit so much to get around the stage junk.
Yeah, tonight I'm gonna try to get the GD77 on the upgraded RT3S, whatever, the UVR, the handheld with the 10 watts. I got that radio. I got that out. I'm going to try to get that flashed up today as well, get all my channels programmed, get all the FBI network stuff put in there.
Yeah, I like that one. I just got to figure out what the reds are on that thing for the programming cable. And I want to get a thumb through. Because every time I go to update the caps on that thing, I got to find a coin. And we don't have coins in our pockets anymore like we used to. It's a pain in the butt. I got to find a thumb screw that is the same thread for that.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I was looking for a coin the last time I updated. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I've got a coin laying around. Same thing.
Yeah, but it sure does good with that arrow antenna, though, man. I mean, I was using that Kenwood TS-2000 with the Star Trek rotor quite a bit last summer, and the regulars that are on there at night, in the middle of the night, they're like, oh, you got your rotor working, oh, you're sounding great. I'm like, no, I'm on the HT 10 watts with the arrow antenna, and they're like, wow, man, that thing's working good.
Yeah, I know the arrow's good because, like you say, that first QSO I made, I think, with you, that was on 1 watt with that handheld. And that, yeah, once you're pointing and you're dialed in, that thing does work good.
Speaking of the arrow, you're not going to believe this. I left it on my tonneau cover at night at like 3 in the morning. And I took off out of the side street, down 18 miles to Utica Road to go to a gas station, and I left it on there. And I didn't realize it until I was back in my parents' driveway, and I'm like, oh, crap. Think of it, what, an eighth of a mile down 18 mile road, and then a good mile and a half, I would say, down Utica Road before it fell off. And it was sitting on the side of the road, and it only had a little bit of a bend in the biggest element for 2 meter because it hit the ground with that, I guess. Nobody ran it over or nothing. I got so lucky.
Yeah, that would suck. It's an expensive antenna to damage.
I just kept thinking of when I left my extra phone on my bumper at Wetzel, and when I realized it, turned around and went back and looked for it, I found it, and somebody had ran it over, and I'm thinking, oh, I hope nobody ran that over.
Yeah, it's like when I was using the MC750, and I was collapsing it when I was ready to leave, and I was reaching up above my head to grab the element and push it down, and as soon as I got to that top section, bink, snapped it right off. That was not fun.
Man, what are the chances of taking dirt roads to get away from traffic and you get stuck behind a gravel hauler that's doing 10 miles an hour, taking up the whole road so I can't pass because it's too skinny of a road? Unreal. Let me answer that. Go ahead, John. 100%. Ding, 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 we have a wiener. Me too.
That's right. Anything that has happened, the chances of it happening are 100%.
Well, yep, I went all the way to Romeo and been talking on the Richmond to Cadavian for about, I don't know, 20 minutes or so. And now I'm heading north toward Memphis and doing good. Nice. This is usually where I can't talk on FBI network anymore, and now I don't have to worry about that.
Cool beans. How about Davian? You ain't up that way, are you? No, you're out west. No, I'm talking on Warren out of my house. Oh, that reminds me. Do you get the 2.5 programmed into your Array Didio for your westward commute?
Nope, that's going to be the task tonight. I'm going to try to get the GD77 on this other radio and then get them all programmed with, I'm assuming there's a web page for the FBI network so I can make sure I got all the repeaters and everything programmed. But I'm going to try and get that done tonight here.
There's not. I mean, good, I use 123 PL in and out for all machines. So as long as you know the freaks, Richmond, Romeo, and Warren, that's easy enough. As far as Phil's go, he's 2.5, but I'd have to look at what his PL is. I don't know if he uses the other. You know, in the past, all your VHF repeaters were running 100, unless, you know, there was some specific reason they didn't. But most, 100 was like the standard for VHF repeaters, at least in this area. And then the UHF repeaters was 107.2. But I adopted 123 because it was a standard for my work. And so whenever I hit, and back then, PL, you know, back in the 80s, you know, PL was done with a vibrosponder read. It had vibrosponder reads at 123 up the wazoo. You know, I you know, so 123 was easy for me. And I don't know when the 123 became the norm for, it seems like, all the UHFs 123 now. When I was first doing it, I was the only one doing 123, and it was 107.2 was the standard. So you're going to find a combination of 123. I don't know why other people switched to it. I can tell you why I did. And then you'll find 107.2 on UHF. But where I'm going with all this is I have no idea what the hell Phil's doing for his. So if he's listening, maybe he could chime in. If not, I could look it up, or I could look on my radio and see what mine's set to.
Okay, so West Bloomfield's 2.5. What is Richmond? Is that still the same frequency as Warren?
No, we're running Richmond at 6.25 for the time being. But that could change, but like I said, I don't know when. It's a WHCMN repeater, so I have their blessings.
Good afternoon.
And, 1,500
hours.
Until it,
mostly.
Until otherwise.
77 degrees.
All right, well, I'm going to hand it over to Don. I have to, I got to go run and get on a meeting here, so I will chat with you guys later. KE8-TFM. All right, Davian. Have a good one. So, Sean, everything went good today?
See ya. You know, looks like we're not connected up to CMN, I'm thinking. Wonder what happened there. Let's see, dashboards, FBI, and no, we are. Looks like the UMP isn't connected up to the, wait a minute. UMP is connected up, supposedly connected up to us. Why aren't we hearing it out there?
When I was in Richmond, I flipped over to it, and I didn't get a key tone back. I don't think I was hitting it. I usually do from Richmond.
I'll be darned. Fred!
Yeah, that's why when I was down in that little dip and wasn't hitting Richmond that good, I flipped over to KCUMP and I didn't hear nothing. I started thinking something was wrong with my radio. But yeah, I don't think that one was working.
Well, KCUMP is connected to the Flying Deer Hub. It's not connected up to the CMN Hub. But, and it's working, the repeater's working, but this traffic ain't flowing out on it, and its traffic ain't flowing out to us, so there's something going on there. Been connected to us for over 103 hours. Or no, yeah, 103 hours, 57 minutes and 2 seconds. All right, I'll talk to Fred and have him give it a bump.
Break.
What's broken? Oh, no.
I-75 North at Great Lakes Crossing, WHGIO. What's going on, Captain Don? Well, first of all, Don asked you, Sean, how your thing went today, and you didn't get a chance to respond. I think you were doing investigative work, so how did it go?
I guess as expected. You know, it's outpatient. So, you know, my hand's sore now. It hurts, and they gave me good drugs for that. And it's a weekend, so I can wash them back with alcohol and all that good stuff. you know, it was a little woozy when they kicked me out. But, you know, 3 hours from report in at 5:30 a.m. till they kicked me out at 8:30. Still wobbly from the anesthetic. But, no, it went good. So we'll see now in the next several days or week or whatever it takes to see if it fixed my problem.
Well, hopefully it did. And then, Don, I was laughing about you. I just got on the car and I was headed north, and you were talking about getting behind the gravel truck. So that's like the story of my life. You get behind the lady to pull the checkbook out of the cash register at the grocery store after all the groceries are rung up. But my misfortune today was my radar detector fell off the windshield of my truck, landed on my FTM 500, and knocked off my volume knob, and I cannot find the knob anywhere. I'm bumming.
You always pick the wrong line, too, huh? That's funny. So it went flying. It's probably under your seat somewhere.
Yeah, I hope so. I was looking all over the truck. I can't find it anywhere. I put my 20-meter Hustler up on my truck for the drive up to the farm, and I picked up one of those Heil headsets, so I'm going to give that a shot, see if I can do some KSLs in the FT91 on the way up.
Yeah, I got one of those Heil headsets too for my DX10 and my my 710, you do 710 HF radio, and they got all kinds of adapters for that. I wish they had one for an HT though, because that's what I'd really like to use it is when I I'm doing the satellites.
Yeah, for me, it was more of the cross look for my wife when I have the radio cranked up so I can't hear. And then my son drove home from the farm last weekend, and I was sitting in the passenger seat, and I couldn't hear it. So I'm like, screw that, I'm getting a headset. But I love it. It's great. Well, I got the Heil trigger and everything. It seems to work pretty good.
Yep, I got the Heil trigger, and then I got the foot pedal, too. But I actually like the trigger better. The foot pedal was kind of driving me nuts. If I could find a way to mount it on an angled board maybe and then have my heel on the ground and then just be able to push it when I want, it probably would work out better. But yeah, I took that off real quick and switched over to the hand gear.
Yeah, I've got a 891 on the truck, and I've got a 991 up at the farm, and then I was going to pick your brain on the 710, see how you like it, because I think it makes it best for the house.
Yeah, I definitely like it. I got the DX10 also, and that's my shack radio. I don't move it, and then I got the 710 for POTA and mobile and all that, and, you know, the DX10's a little bit better. You can tune in some of the distance stations, you know, a little bit better than the 710. But yeah, I'm really impressed with that 710. It's just like, you know, it's just crazy. I 100 watts with a ham stick, and I was talking to Europe. I think I talked to Southern South America. I mean, just all over the place. It works really well.
That's awesome. Sean, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Over to you. You must be in the drive-thru. I flipped over to the UMP when you guys were talking about it, and it sounded like somebody was doing a test on there, but I didn't see on the waterfall on the 500. It's coming back to the 600, so I guess that's what Sean said, it's not connected.
Yeah, I flipped over when Sean was talking, and I definitely didn't hear him, but I don't know if I'm in range, because I'm between Richmond and Memphis now, and I'm getting closer to Memphis, so I don't think I hit it there before, but I can't remember.
Gotcha. I mean, I can't get over how far I can get to the Warren 600. I mean, I'm on I-75 at the Sashaw exit right now, headed north.
Yeah, he's got to get that Warren one. I'm actually on it right now, and I'm almost in Memphis, Michigan. And you were coming in pretty strong, so that's why I decided to key up on Warren. So, yeah, almost to Memphis, Michigan, and I'm hitting Warren.
It's like he knows what he's doing or something.
Funny thing, too, is it dropped down to 25 watts when I switched to Warren, and I'm still hitting it. I was on 40. I shouldn't have been.
on Richmond because I was close to it. But yeah, 25 watts from Warren right now.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, you're starting to crackle a little bit, so you may be getting near the edge. Anywho, I just was checking in, didn't mean to hijack, but apparently I did, so I apologize. I'm literally on going 8 miles an hour on I-75 north right now, so it's going to be a lovely commute. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's terrible. You're supposed to be doing 78, not 8. That's just crazy. And I'm sitting here cruising dirt roads back to my house from Romeo and not seeing any traffic. I like it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm starting to crack you, so I'll let you guys go. I'll catch you at some point over the weekend with that WAGIO.
All right. Drive safe. I'll catch you later, W8CPT.
Sorry about that. I had to attend to something.
All right. Welcome back. Yeah, we were just talking. He asked how that Yaesu 710 was and it's a good radio. I mean, I'm not the only one that has it. There's like, what, three or four of us that have one now. And pretty good radio.
Yep, seems like a goodie. So, and then I know there's the FTDX 10, right? That's different still. I think Phil has one of those. Then there's the, and then the 910. So, I'm just holding ground with my ICOMs, mainly because I've got a lot invested in automatic ICOM amplifiers. So, not that you can't work those with the ASUS, but take some additional circuitry, and it's not quite as shack-in-a-box, as it is with the ICOM-to-ICOM interface. They'll do the band switching, all that. I forget what it was they didn't do. So Phil would know. He's got a ASU pushing a ICOM amp, and so he can tell you what if anything, it doesn't do. But Yaesu makes its own kilowatt, solid state kilowatt. If you got the bread, they got the snot.
Oh, that's for sure. So, do I sound any different right now? I'm actually on the Warren. I flipped over to the Warren, and I'm almost in Memphis.
Sounded fine to me. Let me hear it again. Let me turn it up so I can see if there's any fry or anything.
W8CPT testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, there's a little flutter, a little picket fencing in there. Not much at all. Very, very acceptable.
Yeah, he was just saying he couldn't believe how good he was hitting it on I-75 wherever he was at, so I flipped over to it just for the heck of it, and I'm like, well, I'm in Memphis, and look how good I'm in it. Yeah, whatever you did with that one, you got to keep repeating that, because that one was phenomenal.
Yeah, I still think there's a little bit to sneak out of it, a little bit more I can get out of it, but I'm pretty happy all around. And what's weird is that there's a couple of very specific locations where it's jacked up, and I think it's because of obstructions, buildings, that are like, if you draw a line through these buildings, they do a block straight up toward Eric and Dave and whatnot. So, I mean, they still work them good, but not as good. Everybody else is getting like, like you. You're out in Memphis, but yet, you're probably getting it about the same as Dave and Shelby, which is bizarre.
Yeah, I switched back over to Richmond now, but yeah, no, it's working really good. And so is the Richmond. I still need to take a drive north. I think I don't know if I'm going to do it today. Maybe not today, but maybe tomorrow. I'm going to shoot up to the Port Huron State Game area and activate a POTA. And that'll be almost up to the KADD tower in Avoca. So that'll be a good test.
Yeah, on Richmond, of course, you're full quieting. So you've you're not even near the end of your rope yet. So, not that Warren wasn't perfectly acceptable and usable, but it was, you know, picketing a little bit. So, but I found that Warren was, you know, as I started to get up toward Richmond, and you know, about 26 mile, it started to get unpredictable. It depended on where you were. You know, whether you were under a bridge, behind some trees, or in the, you know, county line road was sometimes difficult. But, you know, once I got through Richmond on 32, it wasn't horrible. You know, it's just, it all depended. You know, you were getting to the point where it was starting to be troublesome. And so Richmond picks it up quite nicely. And there's quite a bit of overlap, of course, you know. Particularly for the lower power signals and stuff. So, real good. Anywho, yeah, I'll be curious to see. I'd like to see how far north it goes, right? You know, just go straight. Does it make Yale? Can you work it from Yale? Love to know that.
Well, I can do some driving and see. But when I go up there and activate that POTA, I'll see how far north I can go past that spot, and then I'll shoot over to. KPAC and see how it does over there too.
Yeah, I've got some old friends that live up in Yale now, Hams, and I remember telling them about Richmond, and I've not mentioned it to them yet, so I'm going to do that right now.
There you go. Sounds good. All right, I'm just about home too, so I'm going to clear. I'll catch you later. WHCPT.
Okie doke. Catch ya. W8FU.
NAKPP mobile for a little bit.
Hey, is that Paul?
Okay, are you running for president?
I had you pegged for Paul, and now I'm going to peg Paul for you. Does that make sense? Anyhow, you know what I mean.
I'm just messing with you. Yeah, I had to go to help one of my air compressor guys out at the job he was installing. So these new Chinese electrical boxes that they're putting in nowadays, it is freaking amazing. There's, you know, when you put an inline fuse in, and they've always had real nice, strong, spring-loaded contactors, you know, that held the fuses and everything else. So when the electrician shoved the fuses in, it spread the gap so wide that the fuse was arcing inside. And I thought that was pretty smart. It took me about a half hour to figure this out because the compressors wouldn't fire and they kept popping fuses. So they're not even using good spring-loaded metal anymore or spring steel inside these Chinese disconnects. And I thought, oh boy. So I crunched it together really hard and forced the fuse up from the bottom, and I think that's going to work. But, I mean, how chintzy can you get? It just amazes me.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know. There's all that Chinesium stuff. It's like they may get even a good portion of it down, but there's always something. You know, so I suppose with time they'll get it right, but gotta have incentive to get it right. Seems to be the incentive is all lowest price these days. That seems to be the incentive.
Yeah. Well, he said that the electrician was there. He defended himself a little bit. You know, he said, well, the customer wanted the cheaper ones. He was saying that, you know, if he got the good ones, that they were $200 a piece for the disconnects. And he says, and these were only about $35. So I guess also, too, it has to do with what you pay for, you know. So, but still, that's a big discrepancy right there.
Yep, I couldn't believe how much some of that stuff cost. I have to get some manual disconnect switches at all my sites, and since Motorola and their infinite wisdom brought 400 amp service. I'm dealing in the big boy league with the size of the stuff I need for this disconnect, and it's like, oh my God, are they expensive? And the lead times, my God, I've had the things on order for months.
You dealing with Rock over there at K&E?
No, I got, I bid it out. I got three bids. I had Modern and, who was the other one? Centerline. And a place called, place out of Brighton. I forget their name. They got the bid, and they come recommended by the, by Wolverine, the people that, sold me all my generators. So, anywho, I can't remember the name. I never can remember the name. It's like real generic. It's like, you know, it's like Custom Electric or something like that. I forget what the name is. Out of Brighton, anyhow.
You're having them do the work and supply the parts, they take it?
Yeah, bid the whole job. So it's their job to get the switches. And that's been the hold up. The lead time on them is just outrageous.
Yeah, and out of all the trades that protect themselves the best, it's definitely the electricians, and I don't blame them. So, all right, well, I got to let you go, bud. I am in the driveway. I'm glad to hear you're doing much better, and I think it looks like she bought me a cup of coffee. How sweet. So I'll chat with you a little bit later. W8FU and 8KPP, clear up to yours.
All righty. Catch you later. W8FU.
Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Mostly cloudy. 77 degrees.
WACPC.
Good evening. 1800 hours. Mostly cloudy. 78 degrees.
Well, let's give this a try. W8FU.
What is it that you are trying? KBB.
Trying to see if I can talk on the radio, and I either have to use my bad hand to key the mic, or I have to use my bad hand to steer the car. And steering the car is the easier one, because I can just use my arm.
Ah, do be careful. Well, I'm actually going to jump out. I pulled up here for dinner on Woodward. I'm going to jump out and grab some quick dinner and jump back in a little bit. But I assume that's what you're going out for.
I was bad when I was high on emergency or surgery medication and hungry as all hell, so I was really bad this morning. I had biscuits and gravy and stuff, so I'm trying to be good today. So I'm running out to get something, but yes, that's where I'm going. All right, you hop out, get your stuff. I'll be about for a bit anyhow.
Okay, and I'll check back in an hour. KBB.
Enjoy.
Good evening, 1900 hours. Mostly sunny. 78 degrees.
Do not have show. No,
I doubled. I heard the key up, and then I keyed up. When I keyed, I heard, I think, the end of monitoring.
Call sign is Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Jowski.
KC8KJO. Do I have it right? I'm not sure. W8FU. I am on the Warren repeater. Name here is Sean.
Which
repeater are you on?
I think it's the SDI Richmond.
Oh, okay. Right, right. Whereabouts on 94? I'm curious about the coverage of that machine.
1 mile from the M19 exit. I'm passing the old weigh scales.
Okay, that's that's north of St. Clair Highway. Not sure. Can't remember.
I'm just M19 at St. Clair Highway once I jump off here. I think that turns into Washington. Yeah, it turns into Washington. 26 at St. Clair Highway, that's the next exit up.
Okay, yeah. Yep, I know where you're at. I usually, when I'm going to Richmond, I'll usually go up to, sometimes I'll take M19 and then run, grass it up, but lately I've been getting off at 26 and running over to County Line and just running County Line up. I don't know why. I don't think it's better, worse, whatever. It's just the way I've been going lately.
It's trying to cross between the two. You're going like an extra mile and a half, you get off on 26 instead of M19. Then you go a half mile east, you hit County Line, you take County Line northwest, drop right into Richmond, where you get off on M19, drops you right off here by the by Pollard Park. And it's about the same, because it's about the same both either way. I think that has like a 1 minute difference.
Yeah, I just like to drive better. I don't know why. No reason in particular. So, but now I got a good visual of where you're at. So I'm down here in Warren. Well, actually, right now I'm in Madison Heights. I'm at Stevenson and 12 Mile Road in Madison Heights, near I-75 and 12 Mile. And I'm on the Warren machine. No chance in hell I'm going to hit Richmond from here.
I can barely tap it from here at 26 and Gratiot, but my friend does an EGOI, John Little, runs Monday night net off of the double nickel.
Yep, I know John. I have breakfast with him most Saturday mornings. So, unless one of us don't make it. Tomorrow I won't. I'm not going to make it, but there you go. So, yeah, that's pushing it for either of the Warren machines. I mean, they'll work from up there, but you are starting to get to the end of the rope.
Well, it depends on which way I go. Sometimes if I hit Armada and I stay away from the power lines, I can hit the Warren repeater. But another operator told me about this one. I thought that was a Richmond one up here. And I just found that he gave me the information on it, tapped it into the Elenco, and here I am.
Yeah, the idea is to cover, north and St. Clair County in particular is a desired spot. It's not connected into the same, it's connected into a different Warren repeater, the other Warren repeater. So, get you down that way. John's been on here a few times. Not a regular by any stretch, but he's been on here a few times. So, anywho, all right, well, I just figured I'd check where you're at. I'm making the final approach here. I've got vittles. I have my hand worked on today, so I don't feel like cooking anything. It's even operating a spoon right now is troublesome, so I'm going to have to eat left-handed. And, but I'm almost home with the vittles. Catch you later. After yours, W8FU.
Sounds like the plan, and I can't afford you. I had shoulder surgery last year. It took me almost a month, actually, to get the plan right this year. And hope it heals well, and enjoy them vittles, and catch you on the flip. KCAKJO, monitoring 73.
Hello, CQ, CQ, Juliet Quebec City, Alpha Alpha Lima, JQ3 AAL, calling in a spy, over. CQ, CQ, this is JQ3. AAL, calling and standing by, over. CQ, this is JQ3, AAL. Any stations waiting for your contact and standing by, over.
Good evening, 2000 hours, mostly sunny, 78 degrees.
This is KFACTI running tests on the HT. Anybody copy?
Hello, radio? All right, are we coming out of it?
Testicle 1, 2, 3, testicling.
I was going to say testicle 1, 2, 3, testicle, or is it coming out?
Okay. Let me go over to that one.
All right, I'm watching. Come on, testicle 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, sounds good. I'm on it. Seems a little hot. I think it needs to be throttled back a little.
All right, stand by. All right, test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, I got nothing really to reference it against, but it doesn't sound as harsh as it was. Sounds like it's more in the ballpark.
Okay, I saved it. I just went from 800 to 700.
That'll work.
Remember, this is my dad's network after all. He paid for it all.
Well, I'm glad somebody did.
So people with their Baofengs can think their Baofengs are super cool and work ethically. Are you feeling better?
Yeah. You know, it's bothersome, and it's rendered my right hand almost useless. I can't even hold a spoon right now. It's mostly a pain issue. It's not a limitation. The guy said, he goes, you're only limited by pain, that's all. And he gave me some opioids, so whatever they are, Vicodin, Hydrocod, or what the hell. Hydrocodone, I think that's Vicodin. And they take the edge off a little bit, but he said a day or so will be it'll be pretty bad at the incision site, but it's not bad. It's just as long as I don't try to do anything significant with my hand.
Yeah, that's what they gave me Monday night. Gave me a script for it, and then the doctor the day after says, "Well, don't take any of it. I want you to be able to feel all the pain when you have it. That way, you know you have it."
Yeah. I've never had any kind of medication that where I no longer could feel the pain. It made it bearable, but I've never had it where I wouldn't feel the pain. So whatever drugs he's giving out, what are those? So I'll tell you, if it's fasciitis and a spur, oh my God, that can be painful. That can be painful.
It's a He said it was a my second and third middle tarsal stress fracture.
Oh, so there is. Ah, okay. I know you were saying that they thought it might be plantar fasciitis or something like that, which can lead to spurs and stuff, which just progressively gets worse. But okay. Well, I mean, at least you got something definitive you can address. It's plantar fasciitis is very difficult to deal with. It's either a long time, just you know, staying off of it. And then even longer, or possibly surgery, but at least with a stress fracture, again, you've got to stay off of it, and you're going to have to keep your weight off of it, but I don't know, I think that in some respects might be better, because there's a path to healing.
Yeah, so I got a boot, fitted for a boot, you know, because I'm not supposed to be on it. I said, really? I said, for the most part, I sit at my desk. He goes, well, wear the boot if you're walking around a lot. If I'm going to the bathroom or something, nothing, but if I'm going to go downstairs and sit at my desk, I need to have it supported and keep the weight off of it. So unless I can put my foot up. So I tried wearing the boot because I got it. The boot came Wednesday. Yeah, yesterday was Thursday. So I sat at my desk with the boot on yesterday morning. By 2 o'clock, it was throbbing being in that boot. My ankle last night, because I'm not used to it. Walking in that thing is so weird, and I'm not used to it. And my dad says, well, you're putting pressure in different spots, you know, and so my ankle isn't used to, because the foot's being put in a certain position, and I was like, I could hardly walk on my ankle yesterday when I got done. So today I went downstairs for a little bit, hour or two. And then I came up and spent the rest of the day up here with my foot up.
So how long is this going to go on? I mean, this is going to be weeks, I think. I mean, this is not going to be quick.
Nope. I go back and see him the 30th. Yeah. So we'll see how we're doing. So I'm supposed to stay and use this till the 30th. I can't drive with this, so... Either Michelle has, I told her today, like, I could just slip my other shoe on. As long as I have my shoe on, you know, supporting it, I said, not my slippers. We're thinking, because all I wear around the house is slippers, and it's not, and I'm going up and down stairs a lot, and movement, I'm moving, well, it's not supporting it properly. And so if I wear my regular shoes, then I probably can drive to the office, but I got to take the boot with me, and then when I get done driving, put the boot on and walk in that boot.
So much fun. That's rough. It really curtails everything. I couldn't believe it was just my right hand. You know, it is my dominant hand, and I am no good. I am a total righty. I've got no ambidextrous skills at all. And I'm sitting here trying to do stuff, like, oh my God. I suppose you learn with time, but after mine will be, you know, relatively speaking, short. I think every day I'll be a little closer to better. And again, there's not much I can do. You could hurt yours. I can't really hurt mine unless I do something really stupid. You know, it's just working through pain. So I'm lucky in that regard. But that's bad enough. The foot, good God. You know, yeah. And then keeping it up's a bear, you know. I'm supposed to keep my arm up. That's easier than the leg. And even that, keeping it up above my heart, you know, like I said, you know, is a pain. But anyhow, I got to go get this thing on ice. It's starting to throb a bit, and I don't want to take another pill yet, so I'm going to go ice it for a little bit. It's been a while. And work my way through it.
All right, yeah, I think that's why he said not to take the pills that the other doctors prescribed, so. Because he's like, you'll know if you forget, you know, he says, you'll figure out pretty quick what you're not supposed to do, especially when you're falling over in pain. So, yeah. All right. Go to the other system.
Yeah, it's like my doctor. He hands me, he tells me, he says, let the pain dictate what you can and can't do. There's nothing really limiting you. You know, don't get excessive, but let the pain dictate what you can and can't do. Oh, and here's a bottle of Vicodin. Let the pain dictate what I do, and here's a bottle of pain relievers. You know, it's like, okay. All right, anyhow, I'll talk to you. W8FU, I'll be back.
KKGL monitoring. Memphis.
This is KSA-BPI testing my UHT. Anybody copy?
It's working.
Calling, I didn't pick up the call sign. This is Tom, Kilo Charlie, Kilo Juliet Oscar, up here in Memphis. Sounds good to me so far. Station calling. KKGL radio check. KKGL radio check.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Bravo Papa India, testing again.
Station calling, this is Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar.
Be loud and clear on my end. How's my signal quality?
Standing, as a matter of fact. I'm sitting on my kitchen table on an HT.
Great, yeah, this is, I'm keying into the Mayville repeater with FTR Yaku with the antenna straight out of the box.
Sounds pretty good. I get a little bit of wavering on your signal, but that's why, you know, moving around there. But I'm using an old an older Alinko AT, I think it's a DJT-S5, something like that. Oh no, I'm just testing it out, playing around with it.
Well, sounds pretty good here. I'm down in Fostoria. Where's your location?
Memphis, Michigan, up by Port Huron. Where is Fostoria?
Fostoria, Michigan, just a little bit south of Mayville, about 10 minutes, maybe halfway roughly between Caro and Lapeer, maybe a little bit closer to Lapeer.
Oh, we must be in a link then, because I'm off of M19 and 7 minutes south of 69.
Well, I've been hearing good things about the linked repeater network here, so yeah, that seems to be the case.
W8EAP.
UAP, go ahead. This is KC8KJL, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar, Memphis.
Roger, this is Whiskey 8 Echo Alpha Papa, W8EAP. Yeah, I'm coming in off the Warren repeater. I'm in Shelby Town.
This is the FBI 440 up in Richmond. Not sure where the repeater's at, but got this from Sam. It says change over to this when I was over on the FBI 79 repeater.
Yep. Yeah, we got something up in Richmond. We got something in Romeo, Warren, and there might be a few other ones. If we have the link turned on, then we're connected to the Central Michigan net, and that goes all the way up the Frankenmuth. I don't know. There's a few of them. I don't have the web page in front of me open, but yeah, there's several that could be turned on and off. But, also, there's one in Mount Clemens too that's also linked.
Any chance? I mean, I found the East Coast Reflector webpage and got those links.
First part of what you said cut out there. Try it again.
I was wondering if there's a webpage for the Central Michigan link. We got already the East Coast reflector.
Yeah, I'm looking up the website.
Let me see if I've got it.
Appreciate it. We love to grab and start talking on some other nets, especially when I'm traveling around all of Southeast Michigan.
Yeah, so go to, you ready to, well, you can ask me for a repeat, but I'm going to give you the website. Go to k8fbi.servebeer.com. You'll see the FBI network in one box, and then you'll see the Central Michigan that we're connected to in the bottom box. And there's a link on the box to go to their to their site, the WHCMN M1UHF. And there's a lot more on that site if you tool around, but you can go to the, you can get a link to their site from ours. But it's k8fbi.servebeer.com.
Repeater.com, or is that third beer, as in like I'm having my third beer sit down here? Thank you.
No, it's what the Hooters waitress does. Serve beer.
I pick it up on that one.
Yeah, it's a, you know, of course it's a name server, so I had to pick from what was freely available, and that was the best one. So k8fbi.servebeer.com, and that'll take you right to the page, and you can get to the Central Michigan from there as well. So it's one-stop shopping. It will show you everything that's currently going on here on the FBI and the Central Michigan, their UHF network, which we link to. All right, anyhow, let me pass it back over to Eric, and let's not leave the gentleman Mayville out. He's coming in on the Mayville repeater, which is on the Central Michigan network, so I'm going to pass it over to him. WFU, name here is Sean, by the way.
Thank you, Sean. This is K8FBPI. And out of Fostoria, Michigan, and I'll be—I've got a drop-off anyway here shortly. So I do appreciate that, though. Thanks for helping me with my radio test, and y'all have a good night. And 73.
Well, I didn't hear anything right down everybody's call sign. So Mayville, 73 to you. And is it K8FU or is it W8FU?
A whiskey. Whiskey 8, Fan Underpants.
Oh, I was talking to you earlier on my way up into New Haven. How's your hand feeling?
I got it iced up and popped the pill, so we're okay. But I'm going to get back to that because I got one hand free and I want to use that to wax my carrot. All right, guys, carry on. Eric, go ahead. W8FU.
Yeah, okay, Sean. Hope you feel better. It's probably going to hurt for a couple days. But, yeah, it threw me off. I went there, but it looks like the other W8CMN has a different node number now. And it's kind of a little bit confusing because some are all-star hubs, some are repeaters. So, yeah, it shows everything. Some of them may not be repeaters, but I could swear that no one's changed when I last time I looked. But anywho, there you go. I'm actually coming in off hams over IP using an old office phone right now. I'm connecting with a Cisco 525G office phone.
I think I just found myself another hand frequency to chat on. I love it. Yeah, like I said, I'm up here in Memphis, Eric. I don't have anything to write it down, but I remember talking to Sean on my way into Memphis, where my QSO's at. So that's pretty cool. I'd love to see that type of setup. I love playing with toys.
If you want some entertainment, look up, do a Google search on Who Cares Amateur Radio Group. It shows all the different methods, different All-Star, you know, information about All-Star. And there's a couple competing, no, I shouldn't say competing, but there's a couple different types. One's called Ham Radio. Was it Ham Shack Radio? The other one's called Hams Over IP. And we have five-line phones. We got a couple different ones. And I got an actual voice over IP actual phone line on here, too. Three lines on here. But, yeah, you know, Flying Beers, the Who Cares group, you know, we're kind of, all the members are kind of intertwined there. So very good. And I never did check on how's the audio. I have no idea how the audio is.
Like you are talking on it, believe it or not, it is very clear. But where I'm at, like I said, I'm picking up a little bit of hiss. I got an old Linko DJ T5 that I've been playing with, charged it up, haven't had a chance, and tried to plug in the Richmond repeater and just key it up. And I got you, I got Sean I talked to earlier today, and Mayfield. So I'm kind of happy. This is about the most contact I've made in probably several months.
Well, we also have a strong and growing contingent up your way.
Roger.
So there's several guys out that way that we were looking to bring some RF to. And where's Captain Don? Why am I drawing a complete blank on his city? God darn it.
Memphis, Michigan, is that the guy?
Columbus.
Columbus is 32 mile road track.
Captain Don in Columbus, and then we got A.A. Ron and just west of Port Huron. There's Nick in St. Clair. I know some of those aren't real close to you, but I mean, we're just trying to push some RF out that way to pick up some of that. And several others I've heard popping in as they start to poke their head up. They're like groundhogs. They've had no RF up there, and they poke their head up every once in a while, and all of a sudden they're going, oh, look, Richmond. So we're hoping to poke into St. Clair. It kind of was the goal. And north toward Memphis and whatnot. So I've got some friends in Yale I just sent a message to. Hopefully they can get it with a modest antenna. We'll see.
Yeah, I have Yale on 2 meter, I think. But I really can't hit it. But I put in the Avoca 2 meter repeater, and I can hit that one pretty good. And on a good occasion, I can hit the Sarnia repeater up over the pond there.
Roger, the Avoca, is that the 300? I'm not sure.
I think 7300 is because I believe I can hit it with my mobile at 70. But starting at for half power, that's pretty good.
Don't know Sarnia, but I think the Avoca 300, I think 7.3. I think I've heard that one. That's a pretty good machine, from what I recall. All right, anyhow, like I said, I got to get to nursing this hand. It's throbbing a little bit, and I'm spending too much time doing stuff with my left hand, so that means whenever I got to reach over and do something or grab something, or I'm doing it with my right hand while I'm sitting here gabbing with the mic in my hand, and it's aggravating it. So I'm going to set this down and focus on giving my other hand a rest. Anyhow, welcome, and we'll be around. There's a lot of repeaters, just as you're going out over a lot of places, but surprisingly, there's not that much activity. But some days it's more active than others. You know, just the nature of the beast. It's all the fragmenting going on in the hobby. So many things we can do. Everybody finds their little niche. All right. I'm going to definitely go back to listening here for a bit. W8FU.
Have a good one, Sean. W8FU from KCKZL.
Yeah, the guy in Yale. What's your call sign again? Say it slow.
Oh, I'm not in Yale. I was talking to Sean about the Yale repeater. I am in Memphis, just off of M19, north of Richmond. Call sign is Kilo Charlie 8. Kilo Juliet Oscar, KC8KJO. Easy way to remember, KC8Cujo. Name is Tom Tango Oscar Mary. Sitting on my picnic table in the backyard watching the dogs.
Roger, Tom. Yeah, we all had a little thing going on about 2 years ago where we all wanted our initials. You know, we got vanity calls, you know, W, it should be W8 and then our initials. There's a few of us out here that were lucky enough to, with me, I could have a K8 EAP and a W8 EAP and an N8 EAP, but Sean talked me into the W8 because it's cooler. It's older, but Cujo, that's a good one. And I knew this girl I dated years ago, and that was her nickname, Cujo. I'm sure you can figure that out.
Yeah, the voice sounds... Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he just fell out. Your signal just fell out there. He must have moved a certain way.
Are you talking about John Little, W8TOY, down there in Madison Heights by Sean?
I don't know. What were we talking about? I was talking about getting our initials and our call signs. And then I said I knew a girl years ago. Nickname was Cujo when that movie came out. But no, I don't know that person you just mentioned.
Oh, W-A-T-O-Y is a friend. He lives in Madison Heights, and he does the Monday night net on the double nickel, 3-5-5, every night at 7 o'clock. So something you might have bumped into him. I know that W-8FU knows him, goes to breakfast with him, but I'm not going to bother him because, you know, he's got a hand doing one thing and the left hand doing something else.
Right. You know, the doctor warned him about that, you know. He's already blind as it is, so, you know, maybe this will slow him down. He won't lose all of his vision. But, I've been there a few times. I've been to the breakfast. I know what you're talking about. I probably met that guy. But, no, that's a coincidence about him changing his call, but a bunch of us in our clique did that about a year and a half ago.
I got you. I've had KC8KJO since it's my very first call sign, and that's how I remember it is. KC8Cujo makes it a lot easier, and stuck with me ever since.
Now, if it was K9Cujo, that would have been perfect.
Yes, it would. I like that.
That previous call was November 8, Mike Bravo Radio, and 8 MBR, need 8 more beer rounds, need 8 more broken radios. It was actually a pretty darn good call. I love that call. It rolled off the tongue nice, but I don't know. We all just decided to get vanity calls for some reason. Sean's been waiting for that call sign for like 25 years or something. We need just a super... And, you know, long time. He says, well, if I change my call, it'll be just for that. It had to have been at least 20 years he's been waiting for that.
Yeah, I thought that's what it stood for. That's good. All right. I'm going to drop off. I'm going to drop off here because I got to get back in the house, and I know I'm going to drop signal. So
Nice meeting with you. Nice chatting with you. Thanks for the info. I got it saved on my phone. But I'll look forward to talking to you later on the net. 7-3 on your final. KCAKJ.
Dear Tom, one quick thing before you go. You don't have an all-star node, do you? Any chance?
Negative. No upstar. I just got it.
Well, I feel like going down a rabbit hole tonight or tomorrow. Look up the all-star nodes, the all-star, you know, do a Google search on that. Might be something that you'd enjoy. You could put one in your car, put one at your house, and you have no problem getting into, you know, any repeater, because a lot of repeaters have all-star node connections. So something you might want to check out. It's not that expensive. So anyhow, catch you later. W-8-E-A-T.
Copy that, 7-3.
Kilo Echo 8, Hilda Juliet Delta. If I could break in for a short, please.
Go ahead, sir.
Roger, thank you. I've got a 991A here that I'm talking over, and I've only been an operator now since about October, and I was just wondering how this radio is sounding out there right now. I am on the Richmond 625.
Yep, I could see that. Yep, you're coming in on the Richmond node. I could see you on the dashboard there. You sound good. I mean, modulation is just fine, you know. It's not too loud, not too quiet. Sounds good. 991A, that's a nice radio. So, a shack in a box.
Yeah, we seem to like it over here. We're doing all right here. Although I tried programming in the Pontiac repeater over there, and I done something that I'm not too sure of, and pretty crazy, but I ended up on a 5.0 something or other frequency, and when I tried to save it, and I don't know what I did, and I was just wondering if somebody was out there that 991A that was, knew what the heck I did.
Well, I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I do not own a 991, but I know Sean and Dave and a few other people might know better than me. Not familiar with that radio. Actually, I don't have any HF rigs right now, to be honest. I live in a condo and can't put up antennas. But I'm thinking about getting a Yaesu field radio or a 991 or something for up north. Since I could put antennas up there. So I don't know. But, yeah, maybe someone hears you out there. They chime in, but I don't know enough about that radio.
It's a pretty nice radio. I like it. It seems fairly easy to operate. I must have had my eyes closed or something when I hit a button or something, or got fat fingers or something, because that frequency that I seemed to save was 5.40500, whatever that is.
What was that frequency again?
That was 5.4. Whoops, I just might. Stand by a second. Okay, I'm back. 5.40500. And it, for some reason, I'm looking at the bottom of my radio here. It says 10 words per minute for the speed. And 5 megahertz, 10, whatever that is. You copy that?
Yep. Yeah, 5405, that's Sounds like it's in the broadcast band, though, the utility band. That could be, I don't think that's in the actual amateur band, I don't think.
I don't know, my curiosity about the thing was I was wondering if I erased it, because there is a place where you can erase a memory, and if it, cause I, you know, not being that good to radio, and I can't seem to find anything about in the book, if I erase that entry, if I would be erasing something off into the other parts of the radio. Over.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to tell you there on that one. It shouldn't hurt nothing to get rid of that. I don't think it would mess anything else up. But I'm trying to look up that frequency right there. Hold on a second.
I know myself. I'm really not,
okay.
Not that book smart on the frequencies just yet, being a new ham, but... This one's got me thrown for a loop. Over.
That's actually the 60-meter band, 5.405. That's right on the edge of the CW portion of the 60-meter band. So I'm not familiar with. But, yeah, that's, yep, you're picking up the general advance and extra licensees may operate maximum power of 100 watts. So, yeah, that's for general, advanced, and extra 100 watts, W and digital.
Well, personally, I was just wondering if I wrote over it or rewrote it and or erased it, if I would damage my radio. But maybe somebody out there I can... get a hold of me and let her know something about these things a little bit more than what I do. Anyway, my name is Len, and I thank you very much for the comeback and the information. Have a good evening. I think I'm going to call her a night and go upstairs and sit with the wife for a little bit.
34ZYQ.
Go ahead, ZYQ.
This is KE4ZYQ, Joe in Clinton Township. I'm familiar with the 991A. I think you said you have a 991A there, Len?
Yes, sir, sure do. Yeah, I like it a lot. It seems fairly simple to run, but I'm stumped on this one.
The other gentlemen, don't mind me kind of jumping in there and give you just a couple advices. Is if you have internet access with a computer especially, if you go to YouTube, you got to be selective, but there's a couple guys out there who demonstrate exactly how to go in the 991A, how you put your call sign in there, so if you go on any digital frequencies with the license you have, if you're licensed to get on certain frequencies, if you're on digital, it'll transmit your call sign and name, depending on how big your name is and your call sign. So many letters and numbers in the call sign programming, and your latitude and longitude, but also, just like you said, programming a frequency in with the offsets and the PLs and all the different information you got to put in, and you can title the channel memory for the radio frequency or the repeater. You can put in the call sign of the repeater if it'll fit, and just an FYI there. Len, back to you.
Roger, yeah, like I said, I looked at it, my eyes closed or fat fingers when I went to enter the Pontiac frequency, and when I come back up, it come up on that 5-point-something frequency, and the question that I had at hand is, can I overwrite that or just basically delete, if you're at 91A, on the bottom there's four little windows. And when you're programming it, it's got one that says delete if you want to, if you don't like that frequency. And I was just wondering if I deleted that, if I would hurt any other part of the radio or delete any other part of the radio. Over.
Get QSO that, well, there's certain frequencies that are programmed in there that are not the memory channels. You do have memory channel storage for any frequency repeater you want to put in, simplex, whatever. And if I'm not mistaken, it's at least 1 through 98 or 1 through 99, something like that. And it's in your in the menu section of where to store a frequency. And you have to dial in which memory bank storage area you want to store a repeater or frequency or simplex. And you can hide whatever's in there if you push the button and hold it and override a memory channel frequency. But the one you're speaking of with the 5-point whatever I think is in there automatically as one of those frequencies, and it's not necessarily a memory bank channel. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's not a memory bank channel, but yet it's a 5.40500. That's what the frequency is, 5.0 or 5.4000. That's what I come up with. And like I said, I don't know if I hit the memory of this or the menu of this or what it was, but I must have had fat fingers, and when I looked at it again, that's what was stored in that memory bank.
Yeah, this is KE4C. Like, yeah, that other gentleman out there, I hope I don't mind, but you mind me jumping in and trying to help Len out? I don't know if he's still listening. KE4C, like, you back. I don't know if he's still listening. I didn't mean to cut him out of the conversation by any means. Len, one other thing, too, is once you store memories in your radio, repeater, simplex, whatever, you always might want to lock the lock button on the top right corner. That'll lock out your VFO, so if you're on a frequency, a memory bank, where you stored something and you accidentally touch the VFO, you can throw your frequency out of whack on your stored bank, you know, and you'll think you're transmitting on the right frequency, but you might be off.
You're all right, Roger, got you on that theory, yeah. Yeah, that's what I usually do is I'll go to work and hit the function list and then or menu, and then punch in your frequency, and then put the lock on, and then continue on the VM or AM or whatever thing I'm heading to.
Roger that. Well, like I said, go on YouTube. I can't give you an exact recording or exact YouTube video, but there's a couple guys out there, older guys, that show you step-by-step how to program just about anything in that 991A. Like I said, your call sign, your name, your latitude, longitude, if you get on digital frequency, C4FM, which is Yaesu's dedicated C4 or digital, C4FM. And it shows you each step and how to lock and make your VFO a little more firmer so it's not too delicate, because it's hard to tune in frequencies sometimes. When you're tuning in a frequency and you touch it just a little bit, it'll go several KC's off. So you can snug up that VFO a little bit with the inner ring, or outer ring, I should say. There's an outer ring around the dial that can firm up that VFO, so it's just a little firmer and a little less delicate.
Yeah, right there on that. And as far as those videos go, yeah, there's one guy on there that I like a lot. Man, he makes it look so simple, and he is very clear on his
good evening. 21 hours.
And,
mostly.
It helped me a lot, I know. I mean, just
75
because,
degrees.
Well, I'm 84 years old, and, you know, when you get 84, I mean, your memory isn't the greatest, so it helps when you watch something, too. By the way, what's your handle?
Len, I've been sick a couple of days. I'm feeling a little bit better today, so I forgot to tell you. My name is Joe Juliet Oscar Echo in Clinton Township, Michigan. And by the way, Len, one other thing that's helpful that hopefully you can remember, or you might want to write it down, is one of those videos they tell you, or you can just look on the radio, how to program the bottom buttons at the bottom of the screen to be what you want them to be. You can dedicate those four or whatever buttons at the bottom to be, you know, the one to check your power, your SWR, different things on one button, and then the next button could be your, power output, and the other one could be your mic gain, and the last one I got on my right side at the bottom right of the buttons at the bottom of the screen, I have as reverse. So if somebody's not coming in, but they're close to you, and they're not making a repeater, you can push the reverse button, and it it lets you listen to them on the input frequency, which may be getting a little more complicated for you, but that's what I did. Back to you.
Oh, Roger, yeah. Yeah, I'm a little bit familiar with changing the windows down there at the bottom. Right now I got just the squelch and channel dial and the sweep. I haven't really played around with it too much, but I find no need to, because I basically listen a lot, trying to pick up and learn from the pros up here.
Well, I've been doing ham radio since 80, but my QRZ page has me when I reactivated my call sign when I took a break when I lost my wife. I didn't use radio for just a few years, so I had to reactivate my license even though I got it back in 86. I don't know if that radio is new to you, but be aware that those radios have had a problem with it. It's a 991A. A lot of people had to send theirs back due to a flaw in the radio, and it's under warranty. Make sure you fill out the warranty card so it's under a 3-year warranty.
Yeah, Roger. Come to think of it, I don't think I did send a warranty in yet. But I've had it since, about October, September, somewhere in there. And like I said, I really like it, but I don't get my fingers too wet because I'm sort of, call me a chicken. I don't want to mess things up. You know, I read and reread, and sometimes I get paranoid, too paranoid about what to do. Over.
Well, Len, well, be aware of your SWR, your match for your antenna, if you're using 2 meters or 70 centimeters, VHF, UHF, and make sure your match is okay so you don't blow your finals on your radio. That's something in the radios have been sending them back. There's many people in the southeast Michigan that had them, 991As, and every one of them had to send them back under. So first thing you want to do in the next few days is get your warranty card filled out with Izu and make sure they know when you, they know when you bought it, but you have to send it in. And there's a company in California that does warranty work for Izu, and many people those in the past a few years. Different times, different people's radios went out. So just be aware, if yours does, you're not alone. Maybe.
Roger. Yeah, well, thanks for the advice here, Joe. And we'll do that there. But so far, like I said, I've been fortunate, and I do have some antenna tuners. I got a Yaesu 736R. And then I got the 736R. That's more complicated. You know. I just basically do a lot of monitoring on that one there. The prior owner to that there, he passed away. He was over in Pontiac and left it to me. And we've been playing and learning slow but sure. But that's a lot of reading in that thing. You know. Over.
KE4ZYQ for ID there. I think it was a breaker in there, but didn't come in very good. Didn't hear any call sign or anything. And Len, if you don't mind, give me your call sign back. I did not get a chance to write it down. Trying to help you out there, if you don't mind, very slowly. If you're familiar with phonetically, that helps. And I'll write that down.
Roger for it, Joe. Yeah, it's Kilo Echo 8 Juliet Delta. And I'm over in Richmond, over between Romeo and Richmond. Just east of Richmond here, about 3 miles.
Yeah, Len, I think I got Kilo Echo 8, and then there was a pause. Something interrupted your signal on Juliet Delta.
Yeah, the last three is Zulu, Juliet Delta. You got that copy?
QSL that time, yeah, I got it that time, thanks. Yeah, before I got my 991A, I watched videos on YouTube and selectively watched certain ones. I can't tell you which ones I should have wrote them down. And I learned how to program before I ever got the radio, so then when I did it, I got it. The first couple of days, I had about 60 frequencies programmed in, some repeaters, most repeaters, and then several Simplex, and it's neat. And then I customized the screen for whatever at the bottom. One thing about customizing LEM at the bottom of the screen on that one is it's good to know what your SWR is or your power output or your mic gain. And rather than have to go in the menu during a conversation, you can just go to there and turn either one up and down slightly without having to go in the menu. That's just my opinion. Back to you.
Yeah, right. That's the way I like it also. I know what I was going to ask you. I mean, I don't know. I've got my Almond Voice mic call and then farm going over here because I got a four element beam. I've got a stick, like a car antenna that's up here probably about, 40-some inches, or I think it's a 5/8 wave. And then I've got a homemade ground plane, and also a homemade ground plane on the 70 meter. So I don't know if I'm getting interference, but I noticed that on the bottom of my waterfall, that I've got some, what would you call it, harmonics? Like somebody's talking in the distance, but I don't know what frequency it is.
Well, KE4ZYQ. First of all, though, I want to make reference to the idea that I'm not an expert. I don't claim to be, even though some people think I talk like I do. I can tell you what I know, and if I don't know it, I'll tell you I don't know. So just to get to know each other right off the bat. I live in a condo. I have an attic antenna. I don't have any external antennas at the moment. And I operate mostly UHF, VHF, and digital. And just give you a little bit of background there so you know that I'm giving you what I know. And I would not tell you something I'm guessing on. Like I said, the videos do a lot better. And more seasoned hams out there would be able to answer some of the antenna issues and location of outside antennas and how to make sure you're not interfering with each one or one for the other and all that stuff. Roger.
Roger on that. No, Joe, I trust you wholeheartedly over there, you know. And I find that putzing around getting or making antennas is quite challenging, and I like a good challenge. And right now I'm working on about a 9-element the vertical horizontal beam that was left from the gentleman that passed away, and hopefully somebody I'll get that up where I can get that situated. But I got to find me a couple pieces of tower so I can get about 40 foot in the air, because right now everything I got is only about 15 to 20 foot in the air. Over.
Well, I wish you the best of everything, and it's definitely a learning process for new or even older hams. Even though I've been in it since 86, I'm limited due to my location, my house, my condo, and haven't had time even still to get my upgraded license to any higher than what I have, a technician. But doesn't mean I haven't learned a lot over the years and utilize what I can and do legally. But, you know, it's not the title that makes the person, it's the person that makes the title, so that's my belief in life itself. So, yeah, I've met a lot of different people in life, and let me just put it at that. But anyway, I'm going to let you go. I'm recovering from not feeling well, having some health issues, and it's about the most I've talked in a little while, so I just thought I'd jump in when you yelled out for some help. Hopefully I can give you a little help in that that direction. YouTube, and any of those suggestions that you may want to check into. If I can help you in the future, I definitely will listen out for you. So I think it's KE8ZJD from KE4ZYQ. 7-3 for now. There, Len.
Yeah, well, you hit the nail on the head. It's not how much education you have, it's how you use what you have. And I enjoyed very much talking to you, Joe. And, that's the kind of people I like to talk to, is people like you that, you know, are up front and they're not trying to go to work and blow smoke that they think they're, you know, God's gift of creation to radio or whatever. But hey, you have a good one. 73's out there today and night. Have a good night and take care of your body. I know mine's sore too, so we're going to be on the side. 73.
By all means, 73, KE4ZYQ clear.
Good evening. 22 hours. Mostly clear. 73 degrees.
KE8TFM.
Good evening. 23 hours. Mostly clear. 71 degrees.